Late ill kid at one youngster, hold it down, bring you that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people, today? Oh, yeah. Coming with another wonderful episode of Nerd Soul on Screen. We are running down Cloak and Dagger, Season 2, Episode 3. Wow. We got a couple things to talk about. We got deep. We went under the crust on this one. Now, before we get started, big shout out to the chat. We got Star Drew in the chat. I also want to shout out two special patrons from Patreon. Enrique Carrion, check out that book, Phenomic. It's a comic book. It's online, completely free. Phenomic, Phenomic. And Thought Crimes, check them out right here on YouTube. They are super dope, extremely fresh, super duper fresh. Now, slide that to the side, all right? We got things to talk about, all right? Yo, Mina got them rats, son. All right. This is the funniest thing about the rats is that when the rat ate the other rat, he was like licking his little baby hands. That was nasty. It was also kind of funny though. I don't know why, but it was funny. Maybe I was crazy, but I thought it was funny. But I do want to dive. I want to jump in and talk about the father real quick. To see him fall the way he has to be important for the story later on, especially in the first season when we got so much about him kind of narrating kind of like the hero's journey, the things that they had to go through, kind of like their highs and lows. I expect to see him back in a major way in something that is quite powerful for his return. I don't want to see him go out like that. I mean, we know that he was in some car accident, like drunken and driving or whatever. But, like O'Reilly or Mayhem said, you never really stop being a priest or a father or whatever. And hopefully he can circle back around to being the guy we all know, because he was out there looking bad in them streets, yo. Homie was looking bad in them streets. Big shout out to Star Drew says, still continuing from episode 1, which is pretty good. Pretty good? Really? Pretty? Yo, Cloak and Dagger has been flames this season. Now, I do got a clown in real quick. Well, it's not a full clown. There's only so much you can do on regular television. But when they went to the strip club, I was like, why y'all doing a strip club? Y'all know y'all gonna have to do the PG, maybe PG-13 strip club, but I'm pretty sure it's just PG. It's like fully clothed strip club. It's like a non-stripping strip club. But I like where they're going in this route of like human trafficking, all these girls, the missing girls that Tandy saw in the first two episodes. And now, like the kidnapping stuff. I'm down with this. It's a large enough story, but small enough to keep it inside of their neighborhood where they don't have to save the world. You know what I'm saying? So I'm digging this, and I really want to see where it goes. Are we going to get a larger, long-term villain out of this? And how will we reconcile Mayhem's actions and activities to get the results that she needed or wanted in this case, especially since she's also looking for Connors as well? But we'll talk about Mayhem in a second. But the human trafficking angle is something that I'm really interested in because I think it has the potential to create a very hard look at their vigilantism, if that's a term, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's not, but if it is, look, it's all good. Because Will, kind of like they had their argument before, is this going to be a situation where we fix something, or is this going to be something where we essentially just move competition out the way so some new guys can come in? You know what I'm saying? And it's similar to a couple of storylines where the Punisher would kind of do his thing and he would kind of, I guess, fix things or move the mafia out or whatever, but it ends up creating a power vacuum where you end up having like a gang war. Could that happen here? And if so, I think it would be good for them to look at themselves on whether they're doing good or whether they're doing bad, and how they place themselves in the I guess, the cycle or the process of crime in general. You know what I'm saying? Similar to in Civil War, or was it Civil War, or was it? It was Ultron, I think. Either Ultron or Civil War, where your boy was talking about our existence invites challenge. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see how that plays out. But with that said, that back and forth between Tandy and Tyrone went very well, because even though Tyrone went from looking sleepy to looking excited back and forth, there was a couple of shots where I was like, yo, is Ty high right now? But the emotion behind it would show out in spurts. And I love how she was talking about, you know, being protector and all that. It, you know, it's dope to see their bond, you know, strengthening it and just being one of the pillars of the show that I think this can be. Speaking of pillars of the show, big shout out to seeing Mina, O'Reilly, Tandy, Tyrone in the same place at the same time, getting there like little baby squad. They ain't a full squad yet. They coming on a baby squad tip. And I'm like, go team. I see it's coming through in a hopefully natural way. It doesn't seem, you know what? I'm not going to throw another show under the bus. But it looks like they're doing a good job at naturally forming their alliance and their relationships to where that'll probably be our team further into the season and, you know, on into the show. So I dug that as well. My question to you is, how are you digging this episode? Because I'm going to jump to something else real quick where we get a little deeper. But I want to know from you, how are you feeling this episode? Are you digging it? Are you like, man, this episode was slow, I ain't feeling it? Or was you like, yo, man, father was half butt naked outside, I don't know what's going on with homie? So let me know what you think about that. And I'll jump to Star Drew's comment real quick. You can see the same event in the episode from before and this episode. Yeah, you can see this stuff kind of building and coming together. At least that's what I think you're referring to. I want to talk about your thoughts on Roxxon's place in New Orleans in this story going forward. Do you think Roxxon plays a big part, or do you think we're done with them? Do you think that they're going to be kind of like this looming, not exactly threat, but not exactly a positive influence either, due to just corporate greed in general? Or will they always be a staple of, be careful what they're, I guess, experimenting on or trying or testing or working with, you know, because they're always doing something wrong out there in the swamp and in the woods and digging around and drilling. Where do you think Roxxon is going to end up? But further with this, I want to talk about your thoughts on strength and aggression. With Mayhem and O'Reilly, we get a couple of, this has probably been maybe the third or fourth time where we get a reference to her saying that you're weak, you know, you're not strong, you're weak. I'm the strong one, being Mayhem, and you're not the strong one, you're weak. You can't do this, you can't, you know, get the job done, you can't pull through, you can't be what people need you to be. My thoughts, and this could be complete semantics, so let me know what you think, but strength and aggression are extremely different. Strength requires discipline and restraint and decorum at times when it's hard to not have that. And aggression is all out just rage and kind of impulse. And sometimes people mistake one for the other. And I want to know your thoughts, because when you look at rage, there are moments where you see her almost look like she's being thoughtful. But then you also have moments where she runs dudes over with a Mack truck. I love that too, yo. I was like, what? Like when I saw the headlights, I was like, oh boy. But she definitely knows how to throw the hammer down. Now, there are also other moments where she could have easily roughed up or beat up or killed the guy at the hotel, but she did nothing. There was moments where she could have got a little rougher with the father, but she did nothing. So I believe there is some thoughtfulness there, but it may be way more rage, you know, outbalancing it, or maybe the rage is killing that little bit, last little bit of thoughtfulness that's there. And you know, I'm interested to see where that goes and how you guys think about that. Stardrew definitely agrees. Both are not the same for strength and aggression. Yeah, I think that's, you know, and I think that's something we're going to hit home on, especially when it comes to like strength and aggression. And also with the, I guess, the conversation with Tyrone and Tandy about vigilantism. You know, what is a vigilante? What is a hero? Are they the same things? Are they different? Are there certain lines where they are different? Because you can see they're getting deeper into being proactive and affecting situations instead of, in season one, a lot of things were just happening to them. And now they're actually stepping into situations and making decisions on what will or won't happen, things like that. And I hope it goes well for them. I really hope it goes well for them, but I'm along for the ride because I've loved this show since the first episode. It was good to see Ma Dukes in this episode. I was like, oh, snap. I don't know what they were voting on. Maybe I missed it. Let me know in the chat or let me know in the comments if I missed what they were voting on. But it was like, yay. And then the other brother was like, yay. And she was like, nay. So I don't know. I don't know exactly. Look, I'm an actor. Look me up, man. I'm just saying. But... on the sneak, very interested to see what they were voting on and why she voted against the norm or against the popular vote and why she was, you know, kind of booed and everything. That may be something. I'm pretty sure they kept it ambiguous or, you know, behind closed doors for us to wonder and worry because it might have something that has to do with, you know, policing the neighborhood or something like that. Who knows? Or what they're doing with Roxxon. Because I believe Ma Dukes worked for Roxxon. I'm pretty sure she did. I believe she did because Tandy stole her card. Was it Dad? One of them worked. I think it was Ma Dukes. So let's see. Stardew says anti-hero is a thing for Mayhem. Yeah. Let me know what you think about Mayhem. Mayhem and I think Mayhem and the Punisher can make a good couple. Like I was watching this episode. I was like, you know what? I think they could. And they're in the same universe. Because she referenced Misty Knight, and Misty Knight is in the same world as Punisher. So that means they could, you know what I'm saying? He could be riding around and he meet up and, you know, be like, yo, this is a perfect match. You know what I'm saying? I love you and you love me. You know what I'm saying? We never know. But of course, she got absorbed into, you know, the dark zone. We'll talk about that in a second because I really am enjoying the progression of powers. But before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to, of course, all the shows that I'm running right now. We got Star Trek Discovery coming in the morning. We got American Gods coming on Sunday. We got a couple of comic book reviews. We got a special on Saturday for Anansi himself. Also, this month, I've been doing this for 3 years. That's right. And I'm coming up on 1,000 videos. So at 1,000 videos, I'm going to do something cool, something fun, something special. Not sure exactly what, but something special. And to my patrons that are watching, going in, either DM me or, you know, PM me your questions for the video that I'm going to do for all of the questions that you get to ask me, whether it's comic book, movies, whatever, and I'll put that video up and y'all get ready for that. All right, so back to all the good stuff. Those powers are getting serious. I mean, real serious. Remember when they were just kind of like emotionally controlling their powers? And now they are really doing some boss level stuff. Like at the beginning, Mayhem shoots. I can't believe she shot at him. But anyway, Mayhem shoots at him, right? Yo, Tyrone transported all three of them. That's something that is no small feat, especially knowing where he came from. Because remember just what last episode, or was it episode one, where he tried to teleport and he got beat down. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, the struggle is real for his power. And then we saw the Hadouken last episode with your girl Tandy. And now she's doing flashbangs. It's like, oh, snap. Oh, say what? I'm very intrigued where these powers can go. Because at first I'm like, for the show, they'll just have her do the light blade. That's it. Have him disappear. That's it. And then when he absorbed old dude last season, I was like, oh, okay. It's a little different. And then when we saw the Hadouken, I was like, oh, snap. You know, she was also stealing people's hopes. I was like, word. So now we got her stealing hopes. We got him going into the girl's mind from the ambulance. Where do you want their powers to expand to? Do you have any ideas, any thoughts, any stuff from the books that you've seen that you like them to transfer here? Because I'm like, yo, I'm digging this, especially when old boy absorbed all the bullets. And when she was like, yo, you look like you ain't feeling too good. He was like, I'll deal. You know what I'm saying? That's how you know that's the mark of a hero, yo. Tyrone is getting his hero on. I'm proud of him. Yo, you making me proud, man. Hey, keep doing your thing, Ty. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing your thing. Big shout out to the chat. Star Drew says, maybe the vote is on later episodes. Roxanne is maybe a thing. Dagger shot a dagger to Mayhem and the club. Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that. All right. When we was in the club, you know, Mayhem came through, rough some cats up, you know, yoked a dude up, no problem. And then your girl Tandy stepped up on the stage. She was like, yo, look, all right, I'm about to take you down. I'm about to throw this dagger at you. Plat-ow. Mayhem caught that joint. She was like, check it. Not in my house. I didn't expect that. I thought she might have dodged it, but caught it. I was like, oh snap, Mayhem is fire. Mayhem could be a problem, even though we know she got absorbed, and we'll talk about that in a second. But Mayhem could be a problem if left unchecked, or if she's able to escape and maybe they have to bond back together. I don't have no idea. Also, speaking to her thought in this real quick before we go on the strip club. She had an opportunity, the second opportunity to kill O'Reilly, and she didn't. You know what I'm saying? She didn't. So maybe there's something there, a little bit, a baby touch of like a swig of heart in there, just a little bit of heart. But back to the strip club. All right. That wild punch that Tandy threw, I'm going to need Tyrone and Tandy to get in some self-defense classes like ASAP, all right? Get your judo up, son, all right? Get some Taibo, some Taekwondo, some Karate Hapkido, all right? Do something, all right? Some jiu-jitsu. Look, practice. Just watch a lot of kung fu movies, all right? Do something, because that wild punch that she threw, that was she telegraphed that, yo. She didn't telegraph. She wrote an email, sent it like last week, set an alert in her calendar, and then also passed a note to her before she got on stage about that punch. Because that joint was as wild and as... Like, she swung all the way out here. Like, dude, I see that coming. Tandy will learn. You know what I'm saying? Look, she's good at dancing. So, you know, she's nimble. She's flexible. She just got to get her skills up. You know what I'm saying? Just practice your art. You know what I'm saying? Watch some Wu-Tang movies and you get your skills up. Big shout out to Star Drew. Star Drew said the pillow to her face. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot that. yeah, that was something where I was like, I wonder if she dies, how will that affect her? Will she like absorb back her memories or something? Or will, because it's already weird. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's already weird how this is going down. And is this something that can be fought? I guess, is this something that can be solved by Auntie with the voodoo? Like maybe so. But if it can be solved, will Mayhem allow it to be solved? That's another question. Mina come through with the science skills. And you know what I'm saying? Hold it down. Maybe. I don't know. Look, Mina, she's smart. All right. She got science things. She can do it, I assume. Now, before I get on the very last thing, I want to know where you think we're going to end up when it comes to Mina. Because, of course, I want them all to be a team. But Mina is still, she's still messing with things that are a little bit out of her depth, I think, when it comes to, because she's doing these experiments. She was in there by herself. What if something crazy went on? You know what I'm saying? What if, you know, what if, I don't know, the rat became the size of like a dog or something and ate her? I don't know. Like, she's doing some experiments that could potentially hurt herself. And maybe her father. You know, what's her father's relation? Where do you think Mina ends up? Because Mina could end up easily either hurting herself seriously or turning into a villain, depending on, you know, maybe the chemicals, the toxic, and she touches something and she goes evil. You know, I mean, look, man, people just went crazy last season. All right. And last season is like yesterday, B. So I'm just saying, she need more supervision when she messing with all these chemicals and stuff. You can't just be by yourself touching things, all right? It's just not a good idea, all right? But on the last part, we see Mayhem, and, you know, she goes in, and we see her in that large, dark space. She opens the fridge, sees her ex-boyfriend. Or, well, boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, you know what I'm saying. And do you think, because I'm thinking that he represents that last connection to her thoughtfulness. Like, when you see those, like, small moments where it's like, oh, well, she ain't crazy. I mean, she's crazy, but she's not super crazy. I wonder if he or his memory represents that small piece of heart, that small piece of, I guess, love or light or whatever is inside her that's still there, maybe. Let me know what you think, because, you know, she could have seen anything in there, but she saw him. And I think it's very important and very interesting that they showed him like that instead of showing him, say, when he was like making waffles or something like that. They showed him the way, you know, the last time we saw him. You know what I'm saying? Or that might just be a part of the darkness of the cloak that showed him at his worst time. Also, Connor's still out there. Where do you think Connor at? Do you think Connor is gone? Like, he's like, yo, look, I'm out. I'm going to another state. Or do you think Connor is laying low trying to find Tyrone to get some payback? You know what I'm saying? Because it could easily go either way. But I don't think we've seen the last of Connor. He's a D-bag to the 100th power, and I think we're going to see him again. But I think the only way we see him is by maybe a disruption or a loss in the power from Tyrone to be able to hold him or release him or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It, you know, because of course we're learning these new powers, but they don't mean they got them on lock. You know what I'm saying? It's not a science just yet. Let me know what you think about that. Last thing I'll touch on is dealing with Mayhem, because we dealt with Mayhem so much. I came across the idea of a soulless savior, because they remarked on her about not having a soul. And quick question to you guys. What do you think about her not having a soul, but still being able to save those girls? Being able to direct that rage, being able to channel that hate, that anger, that energy in the right direction? And is it something that she can continue to point in the right direction, say she gets out of the cloak, the darkness? Because in the preview for the next episode, we see Tyrone say, like, you got to go in and get her or whatever. So the idea of a soulless savior, does it matter who saves you? Does it matter why they save you? Or does it matter only that these girls are now not in a prostitution or human trafficking ring? Do the means justify the ends? Because she went in there and sprayed that place up. Like, she did not hesitate. And she definitely ran a dude over with a Mack truck. But at the same time, those girls are safe. Those girls are not, you know, I mean, Tyrone said, he said very well, he was like, do they look safe? And, you know, maybe they're not the most safe, but they're not in a you know, they're not in a prostitution ring either. So I guess that's, you're more safe than you're not safe. Big shout out to Star Drew again. I said Connors still in the cloak. Mayhem is in the cloak. Episode 9 for Connors and Mayhem in the cloak. And maybe they get out and battle each other. Or, I mean, sorry, to get out to battle each other. That would be interesting because we know she's looking for him. And we know she wanted that come up. Because remember, he busts her in the head. He, well, no, so sorry, she busts him in the head in the club when they was in the, well, in the bar. But then he whooped her up something strong, son. Like, he gave it to her. He busts her straight in her face to a point where I was like, yo, somebody need to stop this. But with that said, guys, I enjoyed this episode. The PG-13 strip club, I thought that was funny. Also, seeing the seeing father out there half butt naked, I thought that was funny. But on a serious side, I love digging deeper into Mayhem and O'Reilly and where she is and seeming like she lost something or maybe doesn't have something anymore. The idea of a soulless savior, and where do we go with that? And where do our heroes go with the idea of heroism and vigilantism? So, yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I'm digging it, and I want to see where this path leads them. Does it drive them apart, or does it drive them together but down a darker path? So, guys, holler at me. I'm going to holler at you down in the comments or in the chat. Big shout-out to Star Drew. Big shout-out to Enrique Carrion, the dope writer of Phenomic, a webcomic that you need to check out. Big shout-out to Thought Crimes. Big shout out to my patrons that be holding me down. Big shout out to everybody watching right now. Hit that thumbs up and make sure to share this to your people that be watching that Cloak and Dagger, because I'm down for y'all. And you can hit that thumbs down, but I'm going to send Mayhem after you. That's all I'm saying. All right. That's all I'm saying. You know, she's serious. You know, she don't play. She don't even want eye contact, son. So I'm just saying. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that thumbs down. Can't protect you. The same. I can't hook you up. But until next time, let's talk about Crazy Jane, aka Mayhem. Let's talk about Tyrone. Let's talk about Tandy. Let's talk about Ma Dukes and where their family situation is going to end up. Let's talk about Evita. You know what I'm saying? The love of Tyrone's life, sort of, until him and Tandy end up getting together. But you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about that voodoo angle. You know what I'm saying? Can voodoo fix this problem that Roxanne created? So, guys, thank you for checking me out. Had a ball chilling with you, especially you, Star Drew. You came through. Thank you for holding it down, waiting for a brother. And until next time, this is me to you saying, check me out at That Nerd Soul, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Your boy is chilling and doing his thing. And tomorrow, Star Trek Sunday, of course, for That American God. So, until then, say peace.